Hello, beloved Red Femme listeners. It's Jen and Hannah here, as usual. And today, though, we have a bit of a surprise topic. It's a bit of a reversal. We're going to be asking the question, should feminists work with the left? This question is always posed as, typically, should feminists work with the right? But I think it's just as valid, if not more pertinent, to discuss the question, should we flipping work with the left?
Yeah. Well, I think it makes sense that there was a lot of crossover between feminists and the new left, the kind of the left that sprung up around the civil rights movement in the 1960s and 70s in America. And of course, you'd think the left wants to progress. It wants to a reorganization of society. The radical left wants a reorganization of society along different principles, different values. It's critical of tradition, this sort of thing.
They claim they want to liberate humanity.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It makes sense that given this this momentum or this sentiment of wanting to radically change society, it would make sense that feminists who also want to radically change society away from a traditional view of how society has been, they would be allied together and that there would be lots of cross-pollination between the two.
I mean, the left says we want to end oppression that we would think would include women's oppression.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, feminists want to end. And they say we want freedom for everyone. So it's the idea we want women to be free, free to walk out at night without fear of men, free to not always be the one doing the dishes, free to get an abortion, so on, so on.
Yeah. But I think the key thing is there were all these ideas that were germinating that had to do with radically changing society.
So my argument, not that feminists shouldn't necessarily work with the left, but they won't let you if you try. So it's out of the question. But why we would consider that actually as a question more than just working with the right is that actually I think that the left in many ways are more anti-women than the right. And I'm going off both my own experience of 15 years on the left and their politics that we can all observe around transgenderism.
And prostitution.
And prostitution and surrogacy.
Yeah.
So the right will allow women to have meetings on women's issues. They might not say, okay, you know, women's liberation meetings, because the women on the right wouldn't understand it in that sense anyway, not in that framing. But you are allowed to have, in right-wing politics, meetings organized by women for women.
The key point is they're allowed to meet women as women.
Yeah.
They're allowed to talk about their relationship to society and the social world as women, even if that as women includes we should be more subservient to our husbands, we should protect the family, we need to legalize divorce, we need to get rid of women's right to vote. They're relating to politics as women. Whereas on the left, particularly on the radical left, this is foreclosed. Women are only allowed to think of themselves as workers, as part of an oppressed class. They're not relating to the social world around them as women.
It's part of an oppressed class with men.
Always with men.
And essentially, to some extent, as men.
Yeah.
So very little difference is allowed. And people, I don't think, for those who've not been on the far left, the camp that wants to liberate everyone and claims that they know the way to do that, I can't say how much you are not allowed to talk about women as women or any women's issues that, you know, men don't encounter that doesn't apply to men.
Yeah.
It is fully, fully like if you were to make a comment that was vaguely feminist, the freezing out would begin and you would essentially be expelled or whatever the process is. Frozen out completely, sort of with it in a month.
Yeah.
It is just, you're not allowed any mention of it whatsoever. And people will say things like, oh, but you know, in the Communist Party of Britain, there's, you know, socialist feminists like Mary Davis. Mary Davis told me I was only allowed to publish, it's a pamphlet called Women and Class. I was only allowed to publish that because no one bothered to read it or they would have stopped me.
Right.
And I said, oh, yeah, right, of course. And the way that it's understood actually by the far left is sort of like feminists are worse than fascists. This is also why this idea that TERFs are fascists.
Right.
So I'll give another example. Martin Smith of SWP Comrade Delta fame once told a story, and I don't know if it was made up, and it doesn't really matter if it was true or not, but he once told a story when he was head of Unite Against Fascism, which I was the national organiser of their musical wing. Love music, hate racism. Didn't like music, had to be at a lot of gigs for that. He told this story once about the idea that we could pull men away from the English Defence League. This was like a fascistic street movement at the time. And the British National Party was around and they had MEPs in the European Parliament. This was an explicitly, it was a fascist party,
yeah,
right? In a kind of classical style. And he said, oh, you know, we can pull people away from that. And he said this story, this cobbled story of that a young man had reached out to him from the English Defence League that said, oh, I used to be in the BNP. I'm really starting to become disenchanted and disaffected with these ideas. Will you meet up with me to talk about it? And he said, like, oh, I thought, all right, go on then. But I didn't really know what I was walking into. And he said, you know, I met this young man and we went downstairs at a cafe. We had a cup of tea and he told me about his experiences. And I, you know, talked about racism, explained racism and said, you know, these people want to have a second Holocaust. And he was convinced and he left them. That attitude of like charitable attitude or thinking you could win someone through politics would never be applied to a feminist.
And I just think it's because they can't argue with us.
But that's the thing that's weird is they don't ever try to convince. And
no.
I think their hostility is partly somehow that they know we've got a point,
yeah,
but that they don't want to incorporate it into their politics.
Yeah.
And the thing that I find really odd is that, yeah, whether it's the Communist Party or whether it's a socialist Trotskyist group, you're not allowed to have a meeting organised by women on, say, a women's issue.
No.
It's always has to have male oversight. And I know that they could keep those women regardless. So I don't understand their logic of the need for absolute oversight and absolute control. Because I don't think that those women, I mean, but maybe it's the lesson of the second wave that in, apparently, you know, in left-wing circles in the 1970s, that's how our second wave feminist movement began, was that women split from the left,
yeah,
because men weren't letting them be in charge of anything to do with women. So they had to go separately. But if I was them and thinking, how do we keep people together? I'd just allow women to have their meetings and they'd still be socialists. They'd still be in the group. But, you know, it's like how in every socialist meeting, there'll always be less women. And it's probably about 1 in 4 max will be women.
Yeah.
Even if those women left, you'd still have your group. I don't see the way that they consider it so threatening. Mm-hmm. And the level of hostility is bonkers.
Yeah, it is bonkers.
And it's,
yeah,
disproportionate to the amount that I don't think those women would just leave if they heard some feminist ideas. I think they'd just stay and be socialist feminists or whatever.
Yeah, I think it is because they can't challenge it. And for them, I think there is a kind of male tendency, and it is a tendency that is rife on the left in general, which is that a kind of utopianism where we go, we can solve all the world's problems. And I think I've told several stories to that effect on the podcast before of people trying to explain to me how communism or socialism would literally solve every human bit of suffering. And they really believe that. Some of them really, really believe that. And they think that if you have a bit of something to say, going, hey, hang on, it is class, but it also is sex, though. Like, there is dynamics between sexes that affect the social world or political. It crumbles their entire meta-narrative that they not only have for their politics, but they have for themselves. They see themselves in this like grand arc of history. And
yeah,
this is obviously, it's a totally different question to whether or not socialism is necessary for feminism. That's an entirely different theoretical question. But pragmatically, whether or not we should, quote unquote, work with the left, for me is just, I cannot work with anyone who doesn't believe that a woman is an adult human female. I cannot work with anyone who thinks that being a woman is a thought or a feeling in the heads of somebody else or a heads of a man, who thinks it's this crass, disgusting, sexualized performance of the most regressive and repulsive stereotypes imaginable, that being a woman is tantamount to being a something that can be consumed by a man. It is revolting. I have no space for it. And it so undermines, it makes any kind of, forget feminism, women's politics impossible, because it's a denial of women as a sex class. So I could basically work with anyone on anything for the most part, barring fascists and, you know, people who are violent towards women or whatever. I have a few lines, but one of those lines is the what is a woman question, because yeah. You cannot have politics with people who believe, who foreclose the possibility of any women's politics. It is not possible. And I find it incredible that there's all this discussion about whether or not we should work with the right, as if we have an option to quote unquote work with the left. It's like going, I want to liberate the pandas, and the person going, oh, Jack there is a panda in his panda furry panda suits. And you're like, no, I'm concerned with the pandas in China. And they're like, what's that? That's definitely Jack there, our mate. Like, it's just not possible.
Yeah.
To say that it's misogyny is not even enough. There's not even enough strength in that statement. It's so much deeper than that. It's such a fundamental principle that I have no idea how anyone could be in the same room as these people.
Yeah.
And like the fact that like a whole generation of girls are growing up thinking there is literally something medically wrong with them, for which they need to be medicated and sterilized and have organs chopped off because they're not performing femininity, these regressive stereotypes, to a certain level, that they're so, their humanity and their subjectivity and everything about them is trapped in this tiny box, which is performing sexual objectification for men. Also, some fucking dude with a fucking fetish can get off, and we all have to play around with this person who's completely mentally ill and off his head and has a half an erection walking around in a fucking dress. It is so offensive and disgusting. I have no idea how anyone could abide it for a single second. So what do you mean work with the right? Of course, do you think we want to be in this situation? Do you think I want to have anything to do with these people? It has been totally forced that way. And this is not even talking about prostitution. And you think it's for lack of trying. You think it's for lack of trying. Really, you think it's for lack of trying. Why aren't you trying? All these women who are going off about, feminists working with the right is so terrible. Are you going to your political parties in whatever country that you live in? And are you going to the communist parties, the socialist parties, the socialist democratic parties, and standing up with a big placard saying women are an adult human female, trying to raise the issue at meetings? No, you're not. Do you think that we haven't been trying? Do you think that we haven't been trying? What do you think this is? And I don't understand what it is that you want us to do. Sit on the internet, bully and complain about other women. If this is such a big deal with you, if you want to be left-wing, which I don't believe you are, by the way, half of you tweet like the most insane pro-war shit all the goddamn time. But if you want to be left-wing, fine. You go and fight those men in the communist parties. You do it. Oh, you haven't? Oh, you're not? When you say you left-wing, you mean you read The Guardian?
Yeah.
Like, it's beyond the pale. It's beyond the pale.
I mean, I think people, because they're not really on the left, don't realise the amount of effort the left is making on this issue. So it's like the fact that Verso Books will put out pro-surrogacy books. They will pay you 10 grand as an advance to write a pro-surrogacy book.
Yeah.
Right? This is a business that only has a turnover of a million.
Yeah.
So that's one book.
Yeah.
They are putting all of their money, pumping all of the capital they have into pushing things like surrogacy, prostitution, transgenderism. Like, the idea that you can convince these people, because I've tried. in the end, they're just hostile.
Yeah.
They're hostile. They go and whisper about you. Yeah. They go and be sneaky little rats. They shout at you, whatever. They will not even have the discussion with you. And this is partly why they try to equate TERFs with fascists.
Yeah.
Because then they go, we have to no-platform these people. But every possibility and every apparatus is used. I mean, you know, these groups, it's sad in a way that you kind of like the Communist Party of Britain, that was probably a group with some clout, does things like on its Facebook, denounces TERFs on its Facebook within its midst. Right? Counterfire that are started by the leaders of the Stop the War movement. The Stop the War movement was great in 2003. A million plus people on the streets of London. The biggest march we've ever had in the UK. These people expel women. They don't have these process of expulsion, but they change the Twitter password and delete their direct debit for things like wanting to do violence against women. You know those dead, counting dead women?
Yeah.
Just reading out their names.
Yeah.
On marches.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff that you'd think, doesn't everyone agree with this? On a fundamental level, they do not. And if you show in any, if they sniff that you might think that this has some sort of currency and you think it's important on some sort of moral or political level, you will be, it's basically witch hunted.
And I just think a lot of it is a fantasy about left-wing men. A lot of it has to do with, oh, but men on the left are lovely, and actually they're quite sympathetic to feminism. And there was actually feminists working with the left the whole time. This is so ahistorical. What are you talking about? Radical feminism, second wave feminism, came from a split within the left because of left-wing men. A split that remains and is quite serious to this day. What is this idea? I think they think that, like, we just left because what, we like to have tea with our girlies instead of hanging out with the socialist men?
Well, they would never remember that history because it's women, it's to do with women.
I guess, yeah. But they're claiming to be authorities on it, so I don't...
No, they would always ignore. They would say, they would act like the second wave never happened.
Right.
That's what they do.
Right, right.
Right? I mean, I'm trying to remember the women's meetings on the left, as in like women's history or the women's movement, but I don't, I think now they're just about trans. And in the past, I think it was about like the suffragettes.
No, I know that I know that the socialists don't acknowledge the second wave. I was speaking about the women who are critical of.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I'll answer my own question because I was sort of doing it rhetorically. The reason I think, and it's similar to what you've said, that men, or we can just say people on the left, are so hostile towards feminism is because it's competition.
Yeah.
They say, we have a way to liberate humanity. And someone else turns up and goes, oh, well, I have quite a different view of liberating women and how and why women are oppressed. And it's simply that I think that it's competition. Whereas, you know, you can sidle up to the right and you just feel very different to them.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, right, well, we really disagree about that. But maybe we have some shared single issues we can campaign on together. The left just sees you as a threat because you're an alternative viewpoint about what oppression is and how it exists.
Yeah.
And that it's not simply that women are super exploited in the workplace and in the kitchen.
No.
And that you're exploited by capitalism in your form of reproducing the family, and there's just an invisible man benefiting from all of this, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's that they're hostile, the same way that they're really sectarian hostile to other socialist groups.
Yes.
That's the only, like, they're more hostile towards women. They will work with those groups sometimes. They'll sort of do these deals. But that sort of, the way that they vilify people in socialist groups that are similar but a bit different, the kind of inter-Trotskyist disputes.
Oh, come here.
This, yeah. But that's the same kind of excessive, kind of hard to comprehend into hatred. And then I think they see these women as like outsiders and interlopers. And essentially, I mean, look, I often talk about how I don't like political lesbianism, but some political lesbian writings are correct about the stuff that the idea that like a lesbian is an outlaw because she's a non-conforming woman. Yeah. If you turn up as a feminist, whether you're gay or not, you're seen as a non-conforming woman, and you are therefore the witch outside the village that we thought we'd banish to the woods. And you're not just turning up, and you're not certainly not turning up to join in. You're there to actually sort of niggle away that you don't have this big utopian systemic understanding that solves everything in the world if we just go with your way towards the revolution. But you're really offering an alternative viewpoint. And I think that they cannot tolerate that competition, because ultimately they don't have an answer for it. And this is when you sort of see people who are really intellectual, have PhDs from top universities like LSE, Oxford, whatever. When it comes to their critique of women and feminism, they just start saying, that's a spiteful woman.
Yeah.
You see them actually reduced, weirdly enough, to the kind of feminine schoolgirl tropes of like rumor mongering, whispering. And you think, oh, but I thought you were a bit of a, fancied yourself as an intellectual giant and had some of the creds to support that, some of the credentials. And they suddenly sort of really lower themselves when it comes to women. There's no dignity whatsoever. They're totally undignified. And they will say this sort of weird stuff. Yeah, she's a spiteful woman. That was the one I always heard.
Yeah.
Whenever a woman challenged anything.
Bitter.
Yeah, I guess the next word would be bitter.
Yeah, or woefully misguided.
Yeah.
Kind of like a disappointed, you know.
Whereas the reverence that people like Martin Smith, the two-time child sexual abuser, right?
Yeah.
One was 16, one was 17. As far as I'm concerned, that's a child. The reverence that he was spoken about still, even by the people that said he had to go, never was he maligned on a personal or political level.
No.
Ever.
No.
So even if we wanted to work with the left, the door is not just closed, the door is slammed in your face. If you go in without presenting who you really are as a feminist, the moment you are, it's like, I don't know, would you work with someone who pissed on your head in meetings? No, you wouldn't. It's the same.
Or would you, and I don't understand how you can claim, oh, we don't work with the right. We have principles. We have these higher principles and ethics, and it's all about principles. But you don't have principles about transgenderism.
Yeah.
You don't have principles about prostitution.
Yeah.
You're willing to show up to whatever. So those issues don't.
Yeah. Where's your principles around surrogacy?
That is whether or not women exist as a political class and whether or not women are sexual objects to be consumed and bought and sold by men. Probably the two most important political feminist principles that we could possibly have above and beyond. Sure, we could talk about different things, but those are the two. So now you'll work with these men. You'll work with these men. I don't know, because these women who think that they're leftist because they read The Guardian, I don't know if they know that a lot of far left groups, it's an excuse to fuck teenagers. It's an excuse for adult men to fuck teenagers. If any of you are listening who has a teenage girl right now who's in university, who's involved in a socialist group, you should be concerned about her. Yeah. There are creeps who hang around those groups, and that's a whole grift to fuck teenage girls. It's not an experience that is uncommon.
Even the men who are the young men in the student groups, two of them that I know both described it as, I thought SWIS, so this is student worker, socialist worker student societies, this is the youth group or the student group of the Socialist Works Party. Two men both said, oh, I just, when I was an undergrad, I thought the SWIS group was my own personal harem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was, and you know what, one of them, at Manchester University, it was told to me by other people, and they talked about it in terms of the organisational problem. They were like, oh, he'd destroy the Swiss group every year because he'd sleep with one woman.
Yeah.
And then he'd sleep with her best friend in the Swiss group. And then the first one would stop coming. And then he'd find another woman and the other girl would stop coming. And then eventually lots of women would stop coming. And then maybe they'd have new boyfriends in the Swiss group who then didn't like that guy.
Mm.
And they were like, every year we had to rebuild it. Because this guy considered it his own personal harem.
Yeah.
And yet no one intervenes and says, could you just hang on a minute and be a bit serious here and stop fucking every woman or trying to, like, that you come into contact with. We're actually just trying to do serious politics. And your male sexuality is never considered, despite its destructiveness in these groups, with just the total freedom that's allowed. It's never said, look, this hasn't been good, has it? Maybe stop, because you're actually ruining our ability to organize on campus properly, or how we, you know, as well as we could do. it's never, socialism actually isn't their highest principle. Unbridled male sexual freedom and entitlement is.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough.
Yeah.
And the right doesn't have this.
No, they have a whole other set of sexual ethics that we disagree with, but they have sexual ethics.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what kills me is, let's say we do this thought experiment and the answer is yes. Feminism is
a left-wing thing only.
A left-wing thing only, which I disagree with, because I, even though I'm a communist, I believe in dual model. I believe patriarchy and capitalism are two separate systems. Putting that all aside, let's say we agreed, yes, you have to be a left-wing to be a feminist. Go on.
Yeah.
Go on. Give it a shot. Do something a bit more than reading The Guardian and listening to Radio 4. You know, do something other than,
well,
I don't
know. Off Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, get off Twitter.
And apply the theory. That's what you do. On the left, there's this thing called theory and practice.
Yeah.
And you put the theory into practice to test the theory, and they have a dialectical relationship, and each model, you know, each mode learns from the other.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
And let me know of your... there would be not even moderate success.
You might last an afternoon. A single afternoon. I seriously go try it. Seriously go try it, if that's what you believe. Go try it. These people don't believe in politics. They think moaning on Twitter is politics.
Yes. Well, that's a lot of people nowadays. But I feel like what's really as well is that I always did used to wonder on the left, because there seemed to be an absence of women's politics. And obviously, because I'm gay, I used to go to some of the gay meetings. It'd be on, like, you know, they'd be like Red in the Rainbow. That's the kind of thing they'd call them.
Right.
This idea of socialism in the gay rights movement. And then it would always be the history of the gay rights struggle. And you'd basically be listening about America, but a little bit here. And then I used to think, so what is gay politics for us now? And there was just this absence, and I couldn't really come up with it by myself. But the thing is, actually, to have gay liberation politics, you need feminism.
Yeah.
Because you need an understanding of the social relations between men and women, i.e. heterosexuality.
That's right.
To then look at the people who don't fit into that and have a different form of social relations going on within their, not just romantic lives, but how people live. This is the thing that's so incredible. To deny that sex exists, everyone organises their life according to sex. Who you are willing to live with in a committed relationship is based on their sex, who you're willing to marry, how you might then go about reproducing, whether you can just have sex or whether you might need to incorporate some sort of technology or whatever. And none of that is talked about. And I did used to think, okay, I mean, I just sort of didn't have an interest in it because it was never developed. It was always just this nostalgia for the past and going on about how gay people in the UK supported the miners' strike. So what they really want is for ethnic minorities and anti-racist struggles and gay people and gay struggle and women and women's struggle to actually subsume themselves into class struggle.
Yeah.
That's what they want. And they do not see it the other way around.
Yeah.
Even this idea that they would never allow, say, like a women's march, and they might be like, oh, but men should be on the march and there won't be women's liberation without men. They would never go, okay, well, then the men here need to all read some Andrew Dworkin.
Yeah.
It would never be, maybe we need to subsume some of our time and interests into learning about women's oppression. This would never be on the agenda.
No, and there's not even a critique or a rebuttal. The closest I got was just because I kept pushing it in this particular socialist group I was in. I kept pushing it. And I wouldn't even have called myself a feminist at this time. I just had feminist questions, you know? And eventually, an older man said to me in the group, he says, well, we know you're right. He was like, we know you're right. Like, the example he used, I know it's not a perfect example, but it's the example he used, was, you know, we know women are oppressed in Saudi Arabia, even though they're part of the ruling class, even though, you know, technically they have all this oil wealth. I know it's not technically theirs, but for the sake of the example, technically they have all this oil wealth, but we know that women are. What a ridiculous thing to say that women aren't oppressed on the basis of being women. We know that. And then that was the placating, and that was supposed to be it. And I noticed there's a lot of that goes on. I'll give you an example. I was at a socialist meeting recently, And there was, you know, the thing that they do where they ask questions and they try to have a bit of a meeting.
At the end of the talk.
At the end of the talk. And of course, four or five men put their hands up, didn't say anything other than to rant about their own personal ideas, didn't ask any of the panelists questions. They said, okay, we finally, can we please have some questions rather than some more pontificating? I put up my hand, or had my hand up the whole time. They ignored me, asked two more men who pontificated and didn't ask any questions. And then the event ended. And a woman there said, came up to me and said, I'm so sorry you weren't able to ask your questions and that they picked men. And I just said, well, I don't expect anything else at a socialist meeting. And she looked horrified. Because what they expect you to do is to go, oh, yeah, isn't it that way sometimes? Yeah, girly, it is. Oh, it's so difficult. Hard, hard, hard. That's what they expect you to do. They want you to diffuse the tension.
Yeah. Well, what they want is for you to accept that socialism as a tendency, as a political movement, isn't an exception, but that you also, you accept that and you don't point it out.
And by the way, I would be fine, and I'm actually in favor of socialism just being about class.
Yeah.
I don't think socialism is about sex. I think sometimes it could be about race because race is a modality in which class is lived. But I don't expect socialism to solve the women's problems to the extent to which I would like. I think it would solve some of them, but because I'm a dual model person, I think it's perfectly fine for every socialist group to just be about socialism and just be about class. But then let me do my organizing. Let me have my analysis. Don't weed me out the second you hear that I have it.
Well, I think what they would have to do is have space for all of that if they are going to claim socialism will liberate humanity,
exactly,
but yeah, it needs something added.
Yeah.
And then they would have to allow this extra fundamental thing.
But in terms of praxis, if they just want to be like, we're just a trade union group, we just talk about trade unionism, I'm fine with that.
Well, isn't that essentially what they're trying to enforce, though?
But if they just knew that it was just about class and didn't make these claims that it will liberate everyone in humanity.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. But I also think that it would be very hard, even for on socialist terms, I don't understand. I mean, it's what Andrew Dworkin says, how suddenly they're pro-market when it comes to prostitution.
Well, that's what I mean.
And they how talk, suddenly yeah, they're pro-market yeah, when it comes to surrogacy yeah, and the buying of women's bodies in that way.
Yeah.
So for me, I do think that if you had socialism, you would end up with better things for women.
Yeah.
But that's sort of by default. I don't think that would necessarily lead to women's liberation.
No.
As we could envision it. But because I'm dual models, I also don't think that it would, the defeat of capitalism and establishment of socialism would necessarily mean that at all. Like fully.
Yeah.
Because you could have socialism and just say, but without the free nurseries, collective laundries.
Yeah.
And whatever, and, you know, healthcare and education being the most important parts of society. What's really odd, just so listeners know, is that that has been the tradition of every admired yeah, revolutionary socialist man
yeah,
from Lenin to Castro.
Ho Chi Minh.
Yeah. These men, like Lenin says, yeah, of course bourgeois woman is oppressed and we want to rid her of her oppression as well.
Yeah.
Today's contemporary left is like the sort of hostile, not exactly frat boy because they're not masculine in that way, sort of horrible, snivelling beta male hangers on
yeah,
to like the tiniest bit of Lenin's coattail or something. But they fundamentally disagree with Marx and Lenin on all of these questions.
Oh, completely. If they had women's politics, if they had politics that were for women's welfare, which is basically what it is, and talked about ways in which socialism would help women, that would be fine. But also had the reservation that this is not women's liberation and doesn't solve, and there's still that class antagonism between men and women.
Yeah.
That would be fine. And they just said, we just want to talk about trade unionism. That would be fine. What's offensive or insulting or difficult is this claim that we will liberate all humanity. And when you put your hand up and you go, well, actually, there's still this problem,
well,
they kick you out.
But here in the present day, the fact that they don't want women to be a category in law.
I know.
It's like, I just, you know, when I see the left, and look, I support it. I support all the pro-Palestine stuff, right? That isn't completely bonkers, and there is a fringe of that. But that the you see how passionate people are getting. And for them, it's much more abstract than the fact that they all know, are, or live around women.
Yeah.
But you're willing to get rid of rights for half the population of people that you know.
Yeah.
Whilst you are fighting for the rights of people you've never met.
Yeah.
And it just shows, like, you know, because men will sometimes try to say, like, oh, as if it's women's stuff is really abstract. It's like, it's immediate.
Yeah.
You fuck one of these people.
Yeah.
Like, you came out of one.
Yeah.
The idea this is abstract, it's just, it's bizarre. And this, the fact that for things that are more abstract, much as I don't think it's totally abstract, I think it's very important. And I understand that our government props up Israeli policies that do damage to the Palestinian population. I understand the actual material apparatus of imperialism, and it's very real and it's there. But it's more removed from their lives than the fact that all of these men take money from women, take money from their mothers, fuck a woman, have daughters, like have sisters, work with women, see a woman every day, you know, doing the washing up in their kitchen. And the way that they will deny that, I don't know how women, socialist or otherwise, could organize with someone who refuses to sort of even just see your existence.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've tried to say sometimes to socialist men who, you know, I've had a good sort of chat with, whatever, that, you know, why don't you, because I'm interested in people with different points of view, why don't you view women as a class? And I'll try and even frame it as, you know, labor, you know, on terms they'd understand, labor in the home. And they'll, when I say labor, they just say, what do you mean?
And I go,
well, who do you think's making all the meals in households predominantly? Who do you think's doing the washing and the washing up and the clearing up after you and the scrubbing the toilet? Because all statistics show men will help with some stuff, but one thing they really often don't do is the cleaning.
Yeah.
And they'll either lie and go, oh, I do the majority of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the exception to, oh, I'm the golden boy. Well, I'm not interested in you anyway, because we know worldwide this isn't, but it's also a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie.
You can't claim that you're the exception, because then I have to accept that everyone who's ever said the exception is true. The one woman who's defending men saying, oh, but my boyfriend's wonderful, who then pulls you aside later and wants to talk about how he's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, what do I go? Which time were you lying? Which time are you telling the truth? But these sorts of, you know, you have to accept that that's not true, because, I don't do that. It's like, look, just... like, stop trying. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't accept that you're the one exception to the entire world, and it wouldn't matter if you were, but it's a lie. They actually don't see it. And I don't even, this becomes another question. I don't know how women continue.
Yeah, I don't know how they contain it.
And then there's these TikToks where women will show, they'll be like, I have got so cross that I now for 3 days have not picked up anything. And he's just literally resorting to like plastic spoons because he refuses to wash things.
Yeah.
It's like, if someone thinks of you like that, they regard you as a free servant.
Yeah.
And there's another term for that.
Yeah.
Which is slave.
Yeah.
The idea that like you could be in league politically, because I understand, oh, if you love him and you love washing his socks, this is another minefield, but that we would politically work with people who consider us slaves?
Yeah.
This is bonkers.
It's bonkers.
It's also a bit of an argument for not working with right-wing men. Fine, but I want to work with right-wing women.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I will work with left-wing women, but you won't be able to get to them.
No.
The most you could do is peel them away, because they'd be expelled immediately upon suspicion of feminism.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm more than willing to work with left-wing women if they'll come over. I am a left-wing woman.
Well, this is the thing. I think a lot of this is a fantasy about left-wing men. And it's some liberal left women who haven't done any organizing on the far left, don't know anyone.
You know what it is? It's that they're married to left-wing men.
Or they're married. They're married to left-wing men. Yeah. So they just think, why don't come join our club? Like, I've been shat on enough.
Yeah.
Like I've reached my level of being shat on.
I've been far too many times to the shit eating table.
Yeah, I cannot.
I can't do it again.
You might be able to humiliate yourself. I cannot cope. And I spoke with a conservative woman once, and she said to me, she said, women are in a abusive relationship with the left. And that's what it's like. And I like Marx, and I'm a communist, and I believe that socialism is a solution for humanity. A solution. Maybe not the solution, but a solution for humanity. But I cannot. I cannot. I cannot eat shit. I do need my dignity. I do need a bit of humanity.
Well, it's just like if you've actually been active on the left for years and years and years, right? When it's your life, that's what you do for years and years and years. Like, even when this Martin Smith hoo-ha happened, I mean, I say hoo-ha, fucking like double sexual assault of children in the SWP, two girls. I remember there was a branch meeting, and as students, we tended to not go to branch meetings, we went to our own campus branch meetings, right? But because there was this big discussion happening internally, I went along to my local branch, which I believe was Balham. And I remember there was, a circle, and we were all talking. And like the way that the chair sort of shouted at me, this middle-aged man, it was so aggressive, and it was for speaking out of turn. And it was like just this whole dynamic. And then I remember this guy, Jack, who was like a quintessentially British man. He seemed a bit like a vicar.
Right.
He would like take MDMA at parties and then not change. He would still be like a weird vicar man. Anyway, he married a pretty young woman himself, who also seemed like a vicar's wife. Anyway, the two of them. And I just remember afterwards being like shell-shocked by how I'd been spoken to when I was trying to speak about a topic that, A, you know, most women have experienced sexual violence. It's quite something for us to talk about it publicly.
Yeah.
And then for someone to try and like verbally axe murder you, it's a very sort of visceral experience, even though it just happens at an emotional level.
Yeah.
And he just came up to me and went, in that meeting you got smashed.
Oh my God.
But he was on my side.
Yeah.
He was in the let's get rid of Martin Smith side. He'd like texted me before to attend. He was like, oh, I think there's only going to be three of us there that are critical of this and want this guy out because of what he's done. And not because of what he'd done, by the way, but because he brought the party into disrepute. This is the kind of, frankly, liberal crap that they talk about, like, oh, well, you've damaged the reputation. It's like that stuff, you know, those laws are called ultra vires, and they were brought in partly by the Thatcher government to fuck trade unions.
Yeah.
The idea that you could expel members for bringing the party into disrepute or bringing the trade union to disrepute, that was when they changed student unions to charities. It's precisely they could do that. So students did a protest and they blocked a road. They could say, you have brought the student union to disrepute, out you go.
Right.
It was basically a way so that if the ideological will was there to take action against someone for being a TERF, I guess nowadays, or at my time being a socialist, you could push them out. And even the way the language he uses, smashed, you got smashed.
Yeah. It's sexualized.
Well,
yeah.
The word smash in the UK means sex, right? Smash or pass, that game. And I just had so many of these, and then just the glee, including some of the women's faces around, as just like, I tried as my like 21-year-old self. Oh no, I was a bit older. I was like 24, 25. Like the way that I tried to manage, right? And they were just loving that I was getting completely assailed by a room where, it was about 90% men as usual.
Yeah.
And I just remember the chair, like, just like screaming at me, this old man.
Yeah.
And it was funny because he himself was actually undecided, and he said, oh, look, you know, when I first heard about the first accusation about Martin Smith, I thought, well, it could be made up. But now there's been a second. Come on now. These are men on our side on the left.
Yeah.
This is how you get treated for basically saying, no, I'm sorry. This is madness.
And because people are attracted to left-wing politics, it says a slur by the right, but it is true in a sense, not in the way that they mean it. But people are attracted to left-wing politics because they have some sort of problem with the status quo. that they want to change. And often, not always, but often vulnerable people are attracted to left, men and women, definitely men and women. And there are these men who are narcissistic, psychopathic, antisocial, who figure this out and figure out if they're a bit charismatic and commanding and have some leadership qualities or whatever else, they can create a little fiefdom with which to terrorize people and terrorize mostly vulnerable people. That is what the far left is now.
Yeah.
That is what it is men who, and like, every once in a while, I get invites to join a different fiefdom of a different, clearly a man with a narcissistic personality disorder who's inflicting his cluster B tendencies on a group of vulnerable people. They're a dime a dozen. So when all these feminists say, let's go work with the left, is this who you mean? Oh, no, you don't mean that. What you mean is the labor parties of the various countries or the liberals. But I don't even consider these people left.
They're not left.
They're pro-war capitalist pigs who I think should be shot or put in prison. I don't want to breathe the same air as them. That such is my contempt. I cannot express to you how revolting they are as people. So
the leadership, the leadership.
Fine. But that's so this is who's left.
Yeah.
Is you, when you say work with the left, you don't mean just these cultural symbols. I'm a middle-class liberal who reads The Guardian. You want to quote work with the left, you have personality disordered men with like, and not any personality disorder with which you could have any sympathy. Fucking narcissistic, antisocial, psychopathic, deeply ill men creating, terrorizing vulnerable people.
And that's what it is now to explain. It used to be that these left-wing, far-left groups had something about them. They had fairly big memberships.
Yeah.
They had inroads in trade unions. They would have projects and struggles, as they call it, to be getting on with. A lot of that has changed sort of from 2010 onwards. There's been a massive decline, both in their membership, which is certainly aging, so it's aging out, and their ability to recruit. And then every once in a while, they have a sexual scandal and a wave of people leave.
Yeah.
Today, because those groups are dwindling, essentially, it's true in Ireland, I know of the case, it's true in America, and it's true certainly in the UK, that is then seen as an opportunity that you can take over an organization.
Yeah.
And that's what these...
Yeah.
Usually a man who's a bit like a semi-cult leader is looking at doing.
Yeah.
And I have known, I've been charged with like doing investigations into them in organizations, that they bring a group of young, vulnerable people.
Yeah.
They say, don't go to university, come and live in this house.
Yeah.
All live together, and they start a sort of cult.
Yeah.
Or a high demand group.
Yeah.
And now there's digital ones, and their aim is to take over an organization. Me, in my naivety, whenever I hear of these plans, they're like, oh, the plan is 2036. I think, oh, they think there's going to be a great revolution by them. They're going to help usher it in. No. It's just a plan to take over a left-wing sect.
And they all think they've come up with a new idea.
Yeah.
They all think this is brand new. Like, there's a dime. I can think of five off the top of my head.
Well, it's what happens when organizations are in decline. The boomers, look, they're going to die within the next 20 years. Young people know that. So they're like, I can then be the one at the helm.
Mm.
And because of the pessimism that comes from social and political movements in decline, their horizons are very low.
Yeah.
Me, with my big visions of, oh, we could have a different world. We could society is created in a certain way. None of this is natural. And therefore, we could recreate it in a completely different way. They're not even thinking at societal level anymore.
No.
They're thinking only about their organization. And again, you know, I remember Mary Davis saying to me that the split in the Communist Party in the 1980s that created these different communist parties was about politics. It was about whether it was culture now that was the new battlefield, and those were the ones who'd read too much Gramsci. and then, you know, there was the other side that thought, no, it was still class and trade unions, and they were less fond of Gramsci. And it was like, today, though, as she said, it's true, she was like, this isn't about politics. This is just about personal power and personalities. And that's what people want. And you can say to a communist, do you really think we're going to have a working class revolution in this country? They just go silent.
Yeah.
But look, I don't think we are either. But no. I have an idea that that won't happen in the West, but it is happening and can happen outside of the West. But then just tell me what your project is.
Yeah.
And it's all gone to shit. And as in the wreckage, there are then these emerging weirdos.
Yeah. Yeah.
And though, like, you want us to work with them. How?
Doing what exactly?
Being pilloried?
Yeah.
I mean, we would be removed anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
The moment they saw that we were women with basic dignity and some feminist ideals, even.
Yeah.
It'd just be like, oh no, get out. Like, mm-hmm. This is the thing as well. Like, it's actually quite dangerous.
It is.
It's like, there's, like, do you want... Honestly, the amount of sexual assaults...
It is incredible.
And sexual harassment that I know in these groups...
Yeah.
...is sort of mad. And I assume it's the difference between, you know, traditional patriarchy and modern patriarchy, that in the right, I don't know who that would be, like, which right-wing groups are there, but I think that there'd be a certain amount of, no, you can't just touch a woman's bum at a party.
Turning Point USA.
Yeah.
Sure.
Maybe they have those rules. I don't know.
They're all incredibly religious.
Okay. Well, then they've got the rule of God
in
the back of their mind. You know, but on the left, there is certainly that kind of atmosphere. So honestly, like, as a fully fledged communist, I would be really concerned if I had a daughter and she got involved with the far left.
Yeah, I would be too.
I would be like, you know, they really only want you around because you're young and attractive. I would be like, you'd be really wary about going to the after parties.
Yeah.
Don't trust these men because you think they seem nice because they're left wing, and that involves at least verbally promoting some nice ideals.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would be concerned.
Yeah.
But that's the atmosphere. That's the nature of the left. The idea, can we work with the left? Well, A, we wouldn't get anywhere. And B, you want us to be around ogres who want to collapse women as a category legally.
Yeah.
Like,
if, and in life, and in culture,
yeah,
and in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's really hard to get across how hated the left are. The only example I can think of it on the right was that Richard Spencer, before he did his moderate turn, you know that YouTube clip that exposed him ranting about Jews and black people?
I don't know of it, but I'm not surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he talked about women. That is the way that privately a lot of men on the left talk about women.
Yeah, it is.
And in fact, what's weird is they won't use the usual misogynistic terms, but the sort of like brittle sort of hysteria, basically.
Yeah.
They go into hysterical meltdowns.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. And it then is. They will say that fucking bitch. Or whatever, but they probably wouldn't use the full vocabulary that was possible.
Yeah.
But it's like they have a meltdown. I'll give a final example, which is, so Simon Murch, who is the SVP member who has pled guilty to raping a child under the age of 13. I was contacted by a guy that I used to work with in Stop the War, really nice guy, and he told me about it. I think he didn't want to put it on his own Facebook, probably because he knew he'd get a load of shit. Anyway, so then I did some digging and found out about it a bit more. And that was when I did this tweet saying this guy had signed a petition against Kathleen Stock at Sussex and supported the protests against her. And I made the link between man against woman who wants to keep safeguarding laws.
Yeah.
Then also rapes child. I wonder why he's against safeguarding laws. And then sort of 5 months later, I mean, you know, and it went round the houses, whatever, this tweet. And then months later, I saw on a old friend's Facebook, basically, a guy I was in the Socialist Works Party with, quite close to at one point, some guy who I think was in the, I don't know if he was in teaching or the education union, he wrote on there and said, I have just seen a sort of like an attack on you by J.I. And I kept thinking, who's J.I.? There were about five, 10 minutes. Regarding a terrible, tragic crime that has happened, we will always fight for trans rights, no matter how much, J.I. writes this spiteful rubbish. And I wanted to express my solidarity with you, comrade. And I thought, oh, I wonder what's happened. who's JI? And I was going through my mind going, what are the trade unionist women that I know of called? Julie something, because I's quite an unusual letter for your surname to start with. I was like, do I know anyone with the surname beginning with I? And I thought, what's this scandal, this tragic, terrible crime he's talking about and posting on this guy's wall? He doesn't really use Facebook anymore. I think the announcement before that had been like he'd had a second child with his partner.
Right.
And then I thought, and then I saw the comments, and my old flatmate had said, is any link? And then he did the original poster replied saying, no, but you can look on her Facebook or the rubbish she writes in Redux. And I thought, I still hadn't made the connection. I was like, has Redux done something? And I was sort of thinking, should I ask Shay? Oh, and then I clicked. And I was like, oh. But he was very mixed up. Like, I've never written for Redux.
No.
But Redux covered the Simon Murch incident. And they'd sort of put my tweet in there.
Yeah.
But this guy who, on Facebook, who he posted on the wall of saying, she's done an attack on you, he wasn't involved at all. He's just another teacher.
Right.
He's no longer in the SWP. He'd left. But he's another teacher. And I thought the total hysteria that this guy had felt, that he'd either got him, you know, mixed up about what had happened, and that I tweeted actually about this other guy. I mean, this man, their names are completely different, right?
Yeah.
Like, one's Simon Murch, this other guy's called Rob. The guy that was posting is some dickhead called Mike Pern, whoever that may be. Like, these men don't have interchangeable names. But just the way that, because I had highlighted this, it was like, we now have to almost like fabricate.
Yeah, this whole net, they love this.
And like, burn the witch. She's done an attack on you. No, I hadn't. I think I tagged this guy, Rob, to see the article. I think I tagged him saying, have you seen this?
Yeah.
Because he's a teacher. And I tagged a woman that I knew that was a teacher as well.
Right.
So I was like, have you seen this? That was it. I wasn't implicating him. I don't know if he's ever met this man. I don't think they live in the same part of the country.
Right.
So there was no insinuation at all, but it had to be, how can we put this together that this is like an attack on another man who we know is like not involved, and that I'd spitefully written in Redux. I'd never written in Redux. And the idea that writing about child rape and pointing out these hypocrisies.
Yeah.
And pointing out that indeed paedophiles want to get rid of safeguarding laws. And of course, then they hate people like Kathleen Stark. Duh-duh, that this is spiteful.
Yeah.
But they are hysterical.
Oh, and they come up, they love the meta narrative. It was similar with me when I had some socialist pseudo friends, whatever. And I had these objections about transgenderism. There was Kyle Ferguson who... He's a male radical feminist ally who had gone to a few events, and we had exchanged phone numbers and talked once. They're like, oh, this is all because you're talking to Kyle, and Kyle's gotten in your head, and you and Kyle have been conspiring to la, 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 like they love to come up with this. And you'll see it from TRAs sometimes. They'll be like, these psychotic fantasies about TERFs and what they're up to and what we're doing, as if we're trying to hide anything. As if we're not being incredibly successful.
But it's the idea that we're the village and you're the witches in the woods.
Yeah.
And you've been talking down at the river at the bridge. We saw you conspiring to burn the village.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah.
It is a kind of insane male hysteria about women. Yeah.
Fully.
And they have full license to just make up whatever they want.
And it's when, essentially, they don't really feel... they basically feel like their power over women in this one individual has been diminished.
Yeah.
And they lose their shit.
Yeah.
And they write very, like, basically things that aren't true, or they get so delirious they get mixed up.
Right.
And it was so peculiar. I need to express my solidarity with you, comrade. He's not raped anyone. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's trying to draw other men in to this, like, let's all burn the witch together
thing. But, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do to me? What are you going to do to me?
Frankly, if you said, right, Jen, I want to fight you in a car park, I'd show up.
Yeah, you would.
And I think I'd win.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, there's nothing...
You've done it before. Or you've offered to do it before.
No, but it's like, there's nothing you can do. But that's what makes them insane.
Yeah.
It's like, why is this one not breakable?
Mm.
And it's why they have to like demonize like the Kathleen Stocks, the Joe Phoenix, the Holly Lawford Smith, because they're like, why won't this woman break?
Yeah.
And you can see them sort of doing that thing. It's almost like trying to break like a horse, where it's like kind of repeated sort of ganging up and then like a new wave of whatever, you know, they've done to various women. But yeah, it's so shocking. Even I remember, it's a slightly different example, but I was organizing a conference in my PhD department, like a graduate conference for students that were graduates, but they wanted, it's like a way to present your work or whatever and have practice at doing a lecture,
right,
on a panel. And a woman who was organizing it, who was a member of staff at my department at the time, and now she's at UBC, straight woman, claims to be bisexual, I think autistic, at least those were the vibes I got. But she's very pro-trans, hangs around with men into BDSM and who claim to be women. And at the time, so this was 2016, I would have said I was a feminist, but I didn't talk about it in my department. I'm not sure I was totally aware of the word gender critical yet.
Yeah.
But I'd never, ever mentioned anything about trans, or I'd never read any Andrea Dworkin or anything. And someone told me that she said, behind my back, I'd never had a kind of crossword with this woman, oh, but you know, Jen is such a feminist, she says that women should abort baby boys. And at the time, I would have not even understood that that was an argument by any feminists. And I just went, what? I've never said that. I don't think that. What a strange thing to say. But this figure of the demonic woman.
Yeah.
When a woman is even slightly not obedient or not conforming, and again, my department's a very left-wing department.
Right.
Totally pro-Marx, also pretty postmodern in many ways. They would even say, oh, you can't use that term, it's too derisive. But really post-structuralist, French linguistic term, half of them are fucking French, da-da-da. That has to be said about you. Even when you're not, I mean, maybe now I am the demonic feminist, but at the time I really wasn't.
Yeah, no, it doesn't take a lot.
It has to be like she, there is something about her that she doesn't have long hair, or that she wears men's clothes, or that she doesn't seem like she, we could direct her, even though I'm pretty agreeable sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so strange that they come up with these things that you don't, I hadn't even heard of that. That was an accusation against feminists.
Yeah. No, it's crazy the things that people fully make up.
But and this is a overtly Marxist department. That is great, by the way. Otherwise.
It's also because no one, including people who call themselves radical feminists, read
right.
the stuff. So it's free game to say whatever shit that you want.
Yeah.
About whatever thing. It's like a black box with which you can just make X or Y or Z thing is radical feminism. It doesn't, because no one does the reading. Very few people do the reading.
Well, they would never read it because they just would have so much contempt. So that's always often one of the things I'll say is I'll be like, well, how many second wave radical feminist books have you read?
Yeah. Also, women don't want to read it because they know it's true.
I have friends
that say that. Yeah.
They're like, I don't want to read Andrea Dworkin because I think I'll be so convinced. And I basically don't want to change their lives or...
Yeah.
Yeah. They know that the critique will ring true with them, and it's kind of scary to then be like, okay, I now have such a piercing view of my situation.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, I don't want to look through glass that is that clear.
Yeah.
At my own life.
No. Yeah, no, I've run into that as well.
So anyway, that's our Should You Work With The Left? Should Feminists Work With The Left episode.
How exhaustive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can't even if you wanted to.
That's my takeaway. I mean, good luck. Let me know how it gets on. It's not for lack of trying.
Oh, I'd read a blog about it.
Yeah. You should definitely like make it like a project. Like approach 10 to 15. These are the rules. You got to approach 10 left-wing groups ranging from communist to social democrat. You have to be honest about your positions about transgenderism, prostitution, and pornography. And you have to talk about male violence against women.
Yeah.
That's all you gotta do. And you gotta do it within the first week and then report back how quickly you're kicked out.
Yeah.
It'll be, I think, the most with the Social Democrats, they might put up with you for about 6 weeks.
Well, at a Labour Party branch meeting, the most would be like 2 months.
Yeah.
3 months if you were like had a friend there and they liked you otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
But by and large, there'd be someone there that would object and they would begin the removal.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, can't wait to hear back.
Yeah, let us know.
But honestly, that's the challenge.
Yeah, write in.
I want to know how it goes.
Yeah.
And how you've succeeded, sister.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.